Hello everyone, I'm Jakub Florek, a second year Bachelor of Computer Science Engineering student at TU Delft. And last summer I was fortunate to participate in Google Summer of Code developing new Swift on qualified lookup implementation with my mentor, Doug Gregor. I'd like to tell you today a bit about the library we've developed and about the process and my experience as a newcomer to the community. But first, I'd like to address the elephant in the room and what unqualified actually is. And for that, I would like to refer to our common understanding of how names work in programming languages. So, in Swift, it's for example possible to refer to a variable introduced inside of the guard statement, or a variable declaration could possibly shadow its predecessors, such as a member here. Speaking of members, we can access members that could possibly be introduced in a separate source file, separate module. Sometimes we even use variables that don't have any concrete syntax we could assign it to, such as self keyword here, which is implicitly introduced on the function boundary. We understand those relations, but so does the compiler, and it does it through the unqualified lookup. And that's exactly what Swift Lexical Lookup, the library we've developed, actually is. But in contrast to the compiler implementation, it doesn't build an auxiliary data structure. It's lightweight and stateless. Any syntax node can be used as an entry point for the query, and it then traverses the syntax tree from the starting point to the source, to the root of the source tree, to the top of the file, and collects all of the names and partitions them according on the scope of introduction. Then returns this nice enum-based data structure, which makes it really easy to model some corner cases, such as implicit names we've just seen. So let's discuss now a bit more concrete example how such query could behave like. So let's perform our lookup here, and let's see what names and what scopes does the query traverse through. So first, call block here, this variable declaration. Then we have a guard statement with two names in it. Then we are back to original code block, the function body, with one more variable declaration. And then another guard statement. Now on the function boundary, we need to introduce the implicit self. And now the interesting bit. Because how can we represent the members that could possibly be introduced in a separate source file? Well, we can't reason about them with unqualified lookup, and we have more powerful member lookup to do that. But we can prompt clients to perform such lookup with what we call in Swift Lexical Lookup a result flag, which says clients to basically just go there and try to find any names that could possibly be introduced there. It's almost the entire picture of how unqualified lookup behaves in this case. There is one bit missing here, but we'll come back into it in just a second. So having built an intuition of how the query should behave like, how do we ensure the quality of our implementation? So for that, we've devised two kinds of tests. First, we have the unit tests, which are really cheap and easy to write. Those are standard XE tests, which are inside of the Swift syntax package. And they use our custom developed test harness that takes a code snippet annotated with markers and runs a lot of assertions for them. Let's try to make a sample test case for our earlier example. So first, we can simplify our code a bit. Now we can put it as a string to our test harness and annotate it with markers. Yes, those are emojis. We are testing important pieces of the compiler with emojis, right? And it's because now we can define our first entry point using one of those markers and start defining our assertions. This data structure that we use to do those assertions closely follows what Swift Lexical Lookup produces and makes it really easy to write those tests. Now, lastly, we also need to tell the test harness to not perform name matching, and that's done with a simple parameter. It just says to not filter out the names based on the identifier we started the lookup with. So now we have a way to validate our implementation against our mental model. But so how do we check if that's what the compiler and language expects? For that, we have the second kind of test, the integration tests, which run inside of the compiler whenever a special experimental flag is set. It runs and records all of the names produced by the compiler implementation and runs the equivalent kind of lookup on Swift Lexical Lookup site and tries to match the two results. Whenever something goes wrong, we get those nice tables which show us exactly where are discrepancies. And with those gray markers, we also account for some funky compiler behavior, because as it turns out, it's also not perfect. Now, my favorite part of the presentation, but I'd like to show you some interesting cases we've encountered along the way when working on the library. So let's go back to the function body, code block, or how we more generally call it in Swift Lexical Lookup, a sequential scope. Particularly, let's zoom into the second guard statement, because God's statements are weird. So, you see, in the second condition, we have reference to the data variable, but it doesn't refer to the variable declaration made before the guard statement. First to the first condition, which has a variable declaration in it, which then refers to the variable declaration made before the guard statement. Sure, makes sense. But what happens if we try to perform the same kind of lookup from inside of its body? Well, then we no longer refer to the first condition, we immediately refer to the variable declaration made before the guard statement. And that's where guard statements are so weird and different from other scope and require additional filtering logic during lookup to ensure its correct behavior. There is also this one bit that I left out earlier, and it's because of what's going on here. Particularly, nominal type declarations made inside of the call block are visible across its entire entire scope, right? So, with our entire intuition of just going towards the root of the tree, we need to revisit it for something like this, where we suddenly also need to check if there are any names after that, or maybe there's also a notion of almost visible names that's required by it's sequential scopes are easily the most complicated scope we model with Swift Lexical Lookup. Lastly, I also wanted to give you an example of a compiler bug. Namely, where a compiler first introduces generic parameters and then function parameters in macro declarations. That's rather unexpected. That's exactly the other way around how it works in, for example, function declarations. And I think this example beautifully explains why it's so hard to work with those two implementations, because it's about constantly making those judgments, whether it's a bug on the Swift Lexical Lookup side, or maybe something we just want to model differently there, or maybe a relatively harmless compiler bug that can be easily accounted for by clients, or maybe something that could potentially lead to weird and unexpected behavior on compiler side, such as in this case. Lastly, I also wanted to give you some examples of how to contribute to Swift, but when working on the presentation, I realized I'd rather tell you how did I do it and give you some concrete examples. And I really wanted this whole presentation to be about that, because we first try to map our understanding of how names work in programming languages to what unqualified lookup could behave like. That's also when I started building my first demo and writing my GSOC proposal. Then, after I started working with my mentor, Doug, we started implementing our first initial implementation, deployed this sort of test-driven development using our test harness, and subsequently, once we were able to finally model a great part of the language, we started testing it against the compiler. And that's really when the complexity just went through the roof, because I had to dive into a huge heterogeneous code base, main Swift compiler code base. And once we were able to run validation for the entire compilation process of Swift standard library recently, we started stabilizing the API. And I also published an RFC last week to hope and will hopefully make it public to enable clients to start using the library, and with the added benefit that once the new implementation makes its way to the compiler and becomes the canonical implementation, the results will be guaranteed to be correct. So with that, I hope you enjoyed the presentation, maybe you learned something new, and you'll now consider maybe contributing to Swift. Thank you.